Welcome to Happily Holistic. I'm Amy Lee Mercury, and I'm a medical intuitive with 20 years of experience. I've written 15 books on health and wellness. If you've had a medical intuitive session with me, you know that the thoughts and emotions within you, what has been passed down from your ancestors, and everything that surrounds you can impact your well-being. In this podcast, we touch on my favorite ways for you to improve your health and feel more joy. We dive deeply into everything health and wellness with a big dash of spirituality and a sprinkle of business. We spotlight the uplifting and the positive and share the secret ways top wellness authors and celebrities get inspired, stay healthy, and enjoy this beautiful life. I can't wait to get happily holistic with you today. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Happily Holistic. I am here today with Julie Parker. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Ivy.
Julie is an author, and she wrote a book called Priestess, which I'm really excited to dive into. She's also a speaker, a life coach, a trainer, a magazine editor, a podcast host, and a founder of the Beautiful You Coaching Academy. She has 1,500 Beautiful You life coaches who she's trained from all around the world, and they grow by the hundreds every year. It's very exciting. And Julie is a modern day priestess, bringing forth her lineage of spiritual service through the Priestess podcast, Sacred Priestess Circles, and Priestess Temple School. And those of you who know me know that that is definitely right up my alley. So welcome, Julie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm really delighted to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. And I'm excited for us to get to chat about all things priestess. So maybe take us through how you landed where you are as far as being a modern day priestess and what got you to that point, and then also what it entails.
Well, I might start with the second part of that question first, okay, which will offer a grounding for everyone that is maybe not aware of what a priestess is. Mm-hmm. And you could ask this question of hundreds, if not thousands, of different priestesses and people around the world, and not everyone is going to have an agreed upon definition. Mm-hmm. And so what I share with you is simply my perspective on that, even though I'm sure that there would be lots that would probably align with it. To me, a priestess is a sacred spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. They are someone that is within a leadership role within their own life and within their work, their business, maybe if they have one, their community. In particular, they are someone who holds space for other people, often other women, to help them explore and dive into the world of their own divinity, their own spirituality, and their own awakening. So they are space holders. And within the modern context, because priestesses are not new, this is a very, very ancient role, yes, that women have held for thousands of years, they can look like anything from a healer to a teacher to a mother to a coach to a guide to a sacred circle facilitator, mm-hmm, to a plant medicine expert, so many different forms that they may come in. But essentially, they're a spiritual leader, and the work that they do deeply hold space for others to explore their own spirituality as well. So that's what a priestess is to me within this modern context. And the way that I came into this work is both relatively recent, when I say that, about the last 6 years. So that kind of feels recent for me.
Yeah.
Because in a couple of years' time, I'll be 50. And so, you know, that feels recent in the span of my life, mm-hmm, but also it's very ancient as well. There is a duality there, because when I began to explore the world of the priestess, when I first became aware of it about 6 years ago, and I realized that's me. They're talking about me there. That's who I am, and that's what I do, even though I didn't realize it. I then began to go on this beautiful exploratory path and came to understand that I actually came from a lineage of priestesses, mm-hmm. and that my mother was one, my grandmother was one, and likely many other women in my family further back as well. Not that they ever would have called themselves as such,
right,
or thought of themselves as such, but they were doing so much leadership work in their communities. They were deeply in service to others through their volunteering, through their careers, through what they did with their lives, that I realized, hang on a second, this is actually in my DNA. And so this is new on one level, Amy, but also very old on another.
An ancestral calling or stream of energy and consciousness that you've held.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that you're using the term priestess, because as I mentioned to Julie before we started recording, I've been teaching goddess shamanism for 20 years, and you know, we have a lot of, as we work with the divine feminine and goddess energy, people come to a lot of really beautiful past life memories where they did function in these priestess roles. And no priestess life or role is the same. And these roles, you know, occurred all over the world, really. And these were women who were sharing spiritual teachings with other women primarily. And so I love, Julie, that you're reviving that and kind of not owning in the ownership sense, but, you know, using that term and bringing that term back to the forefront and letting women know that we can keep doing that for each other, because we actually do. And it sounds like that's what was happening in your family too.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, not that they necessarily, the women of my family, realized that at that time, and not that I did when I was growing up either. And I do love that there are more and more women who are reclaiming this path and this form of spiritual leadership for themselves. As I mentioned earlier, Amy, it's always existed. It's always been there. But just like our fellow sisters in the world of witchcraft, it is something that through the patriarchy and Christian homogenization and a whole, you know, the death of goddess culture and worship, that was buried, was pushed underground, began to both feel and genuinely be very unsafe for people to practice in a world that moved towards, you know, the worship of one male god through Christianity and the spread of that. And so that was something that became unsafe for so many women to hold. And from a patriarchal perspective as well, you know, once women were very powerful spiritual leaders, but with the onset of the patriarchy and the subjugation of our roles within that realm, that was completely stripped away from us. And so this is a reclaiming. It's not something that's new. It's a returning to our spiritual birthrights.
I completely agree. And one of the things I wrote about in Little Bit of Goddess, and I am excited to read Priestess, so I'm not sure if it's in there. We'll see. And one of the things in the shamanism classes I teach, when we do have the goddess based classes, that we really look at too, is all of the ways in our modern culture that holiday celebrations are actually seeded with old traditions from our matriarchal roots. And so I think it's really important to start shining a light on that and, you know, everyone can research Yule, you know, the celebration of winter solstice and how that contributed to Christmas celebrations and so on and so forth. Samhain and Ostara being the festival of Eostra, Ostara being the festival that became Easter, and all the ways that Christianity appropriated seasonal celebrations. But I really love that you're bringing this work to so many people. It's really exciting. And I think it's fun for me to hear, A, that it's happening, and B, to kind of hear what's going on over there in Australia too, because we don't always know. I love that you're doing that. And I'm sure you have people from all over the world as well, but.
Oh, absolutely. This is very much a global movement. And one of the things that I do talk about in Priestess is, you know, how does one come to embody really owning their spiritual gifts and stepping into this role of spiritual leadership? And there are a variety of things that I talk about in there, everything from the blood mysteries, but the wheel of the year is definitely something that we talk about there. And also the fact that, yes, most definitely, once upon a time, you know, priestesses were very, very much in all different cultures around the world, handmaidens of the goddess. Absolutely. You know, they were considered to be the living embodiment of and channel to goddesses in the higher realms for the people and their communities around them. Now, a lot of modern day priestesses do connect in deeply with different goddesses, and I have at varying different times in my own path as well. But there are also many these days that are not, that definitely are priestesses, but not necessarily connected to goddess worship in that way. That's right. That has evolved somewhat. But I definitely would be bold enough to say that any person that considered themselves to be a priestess today would at least be reverent with and in right relation, whatever that might mean to them, with the greatest goddess of all, and that is, of course, Mother Earth, the Great Mother. And so that's a very important part of being a priestess, is protecting our earth, aligning with the seasons, understanding that we don't go to nature, that we are in fact nature itself.
We are nature,
and that she is a reflection of us. So that's that's an important part of this work.
Absolutely. And also too, I think it's bringing the authority, the spiritual authority, back to the individual. That you don't have to go to a priest or this external person to connect with God, goddess. You are a goddess, and you're connecting with spirituality in whatever way you want to frame it. And you can do that. You can absolutely learn from teachers to help you, but you don't need to go through you know, a subsidized priest in the form of like a lot of the, you know, Christian style religions. And I think that's really key, is us taking help, you know, just bringing light to the fact that we can take back that authority instead of having gurus and, you know, people who tell us what to do, that we actually have that inner authority and that connection, that level of divine connection is available to everybody. And I think that's what you're teaching too.
Oh, most definitely, because the world of the priestess is firstly and foremostly an inner one. And I talk about this extensively in the book. It's like, if we're not careful in the modern world that we're living in, even within this supposedly beautiful realm of service and giving that priestesses are so connected to, that it can become very easy to get caught up in the shiny trinkets and the oracle card decks and, you know, all the external things of what this might look like. But in fact, this truly is about sovereignty. And firstly and foremostly, being the leader of our own life and working on our shadow, our depths, our ego, the things that we find difficult to reconcile, the things that upset us, anger us easily, the things that see relationships break down, Those are all of the things that this path calls us to look at firstly and foremostly. Mm-hmm. You know, I say it's an inside job, you know, to begin with. Yes. And it remains that way because the core thing that a priestess does is for others is to hold space for them. Mm-hmm. And we cannot be magnificent space holders if we're not attending to and addressing all of our own stuff first. We have to look at those things first and understand that that's a lifelong undertaking. You know, it's a lifelong journey of compassion. Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey there, it's Amy Lee Mercree. People have been asking what to expect when you book a medical intuitive session with me. Whether you have had a medical intuitive session before or are completely new to the idea, working with a medical intuitive may be right for you if you are looking to uncover the root cause of one or more mild to moderate health concerns. Working with me is not designed to take the place of seeing an integrative doctor or your chosen health practitioner. The way a session begins is you get to share your questions and concerns. After that, I say an opening invocation, which is adapted from something shared with me by my late medicine teacher about 25 years ago. It invites your highest vibrational spirit guides to participate in the session. These may be ancestors, angelic guides, or other benevolent non-physical beings. After the invocation, I let you know which guides want to talk with you and what they have to say. We address your questions and concerns and find resolutions and answers. If there are health issues, we find the root causes of the issues. To learn more about my medical intuitive work, check out the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com.
Yes, absolutely. And self-compassion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, it requires gentleness and care, but also radical honesty and truth. Mm-hmm. So we don't spiritually bypass and we don't gloss over the things that we really need to address.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that path can be intimidating for some people, or, you know, it can be a little bit daunting, especially when right now the world is, you know, very distracting if we allow it to be. And so it's really easy to go to distractions and external, but in a choice to go within and cultivate consciousness can yield a lot of great results is the thing, if we choose to put that time in, right?
Oh, without question. And I actually really have come to believe, Amy, that we probably learn more about ourselves when we have the courage to look at the things that we don't like about ourselves, mm-hmm. that we know need healing, that we know need attention and love and mending, as opposed to the things where we shine and that come easily and with grace to us. You know, those things are delicious and beautiful, and we should absolutely lean into them with everything that we've got.
Yes.
But the richness that we can uncover for ourselves and what we can learn about ourselves and how we can grow when we're prepared to look at our jealousies, our mm-hmm. bitterness, our anger, our fear, where we compare ourselves to others, where we keep ourselves small, all those things. The learning in there is just completely at a whole other level. It's mm-hmm. so rich and it's so deep, but many people never go there. They don't want to go there. They never go there. But if you want to be a spiritual leader and really, really embrace a path as a priestess in life, mm-hmm. That's the work. That is firstly and foremost the work.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And I find when you avoid it, if you avoid it, especially when I was 23 years old, I sort of made a decision to combine my will with what I at that time called the will of the goddess. So it's really just, you know, to be of service, and then it would serve me too. But I think when you make an intention like that, when you make a free will decision like that, then when you do sometimes sort of try to avoid those inner things, they usually come up, because to continue with the intention that you've set to, you know, continue to evolve and be of service, you really can't avoid those things. So they seem to come back up.
They absolutely do. You can ignore them for as long as you want, but that does not mean they will go away or lessen.
Right. They'll keep showing up in different ways. Absolutely. Yes. And since we're sort of, you know, just jumping around and talking about different things, what is your perspective on, so if someone is wanting to live as a priestess, as somebody who's in service to the divine and cultivating consciousness, you know, and all of the richness that we have when we take that path, then when we want to be in relationship, how does that work, or how can we help that to work better? I know that's sometimes a question people run up against.
Do you mean relationship as in an intimate relationship?
Yeah, romantic relationship.
Well, I think that you mentioned the word ownership earlier in the interview, and I think that that is a very important part of this, is that if we want to be romantically and intimately and intentionally aligned with someone, then firstly and foremostly, we take ownership and express radical honesty with ourselves and them about how important this is to us, about what it means to us, because so many of us in life make assumptions, even with the people that are closest to us and love us the most, around what it is that is important to us, what we value, and what we hold dear. And what that can do is that it can lead into taking people for granted, and it can lead into misunderstandings. Right. And it's like, well, I would have thought you would have known that about me, you know, and that this is, you know this. And it's like, well, hang on a second, maybe they don't. And because you've never actually really expressed it to them. And so I think being really honest about what does your spiritual practice mean to you with them? Why is it important to you? How do you want to commit to that and show up for that for yourself for the rest of your life? And then seeing what their response to is around that. And I know that this sounds really simple, Amy, but, you know, having done this work now for so many years, you know, a counselor, a coach, you know, well beyond the years that I've been, you know, sort of a priestess in this space, so much of the friction that we experience in relationships like that has to do with unspoken or unresolved communication. And so I think that just being really open about it is really important. That isn't always easy. You know, I think I'm still trying to find the right words at times to express to my husband what it means to me. You me know, too. It's like, because I'm still trying to find them for myself.
Yes. Me too, 25 years later too, because it's an evolving thing, you know.
Yeah.
I've been on this path for 25 years, and, you know, as we evolve, I think it, what we, our wants, our needs, our viewpoint changes too. And so then it also, I think, requires that additional communication, right?
Of course it does. Yeah. And even just the simple expression of, this is a journey for me. It is not black and white. This is something that I think is going to be unfolding for me for the rest of my life. And I commit to letting you know that if there are really significant shifts or changes happening for me in this space, that are maybe throwing me off my axis or causing me to feel triggered or upset in some way, or may impact our relationship, I will let you know that.
And
this is what I desire from you in regards to that.
That's a really great way to put it. So were you a counselor before you were doing your priestess work?
Yes, I was a counselor, a professional counselor for many, many years, and also a life and business coach. And now I train coaches. You know, that is my spiritual service in the world through my priestessing. And I do many other things as well with my priestessing. Yeah. But yeah, so I've certainly had many conversations with people around communication and the vital role of that in life.
I think it is not just our romantic relationships, but all, right? Parenting, friends, family, everything. The more we can share and communicate, the better things go,
Absolutely, because it allows there to be less room for any assumption making to happen or for people to be taken for granted.
Yeah.
But the assumption making, I think, when it comes to communication is a very, very powerful and important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if we don't actually express what it is that we need or how we feel about something, then that's what can end up happening, is that we are just assuming that someone else will pick that up and know. And that's a huge burden for someone else to carry, because if they don't get it right, that might really upset us or be difficult for us to reconcile, even though we've actually contributed to that being the case.
Right. Well put. So if you were going to give our listeners today, let's say like one or two either things to reflect on, or, you know, so like contemplation prompts or even action steps, let's say 1 to 3, to assist them in coming into alignment with that sovereignty and in the spirit of priestesshood, whatever that looks like for them, what would be some starter tips?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, Amy, is for anybody that is looking to explore this, is to get radically honest with yourself about all the areas of your life. There may be only a few, there could be many. Mm-hmm. Either way, it doesn't matter, where you know you are not operating in your full light and it to your fullest and most divine capacity.
Yeah.
And only you will know what those things are. It may be that you are keeping yourself small, dealing with imposter syndrome, have a lot of fears about putting yourself out there, are struggling with repeated patterns in relationships. It could be anything. That's the start, is to actually have the courage to go there and genuinely look at those things with compassionate and gentle eyes and heart. And then the second step from there is working out, well, what am I going to do about this? And knowing that you don't have to do it alone, that you can call for help or guidance. But that also, and this probably comes into the third part of it, is to, I really believe, to understand that along that path, for you to heal those parts of yourself, you will need to develop a more intimate relationship with who you are. And to me, the pathway to that is going to actually being in deeper relationship with yourself, which I truly believe can only be achieved through the giving of time and space to yourself. So whether that looks for you like long walks in nature or sitting in silence or with a beautiful meditation track or journaling or working with crystals or whatever calls you, either alone or in combination together, and committing to doing that as a regular practice. Because until you actually really learn to sit with yourself and listen to yourself and allow your soul voice and intuition to come forward on what your heart, body, soul, mind, divine self most needs, you'll be doing is grasping at external straws. Doesn't mean you can't ask for help. It doesn't mean can't get a coach, a healer, a guide to support you, or even beautiful books, anything, any resources that can assist you. But ultimately, in the end, the thing that's going to create the most transformation and shift for you will be how you change your internal landscape and world, how you change your thoughts, how you connect with your body at a deeper level, and how you blend those things together to move into that light and really embody everything that you feel that you're not embodying right now. So slowing down, connecting in, developing that deeper relationship is so important here.
I love that. And I totally agree with that too. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today, Julie.
It's a pleasure, Amy. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, it's been really wonderful to have you here. Where can our listeners find you online?
You can find me at juliesuzanneparker.com.
Aha, perfect. And I know Julie's Instagram is Julesy Parker, right?
That is correct. Yeah, it's all there.
I like your Instagram. It's very pretty.
Thank you very much. Very nice. Beauty is one of my core values. And so making things look and feel beautiful and lush is really important to me.
I love that. It definitely shines through. It definitely looks that way. And there's an energy behind it as well that is very harmonious with it. So it's really beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. And thank you all for listening. And we wish you a joyful day.
Thanks for listening to Happily Holistic with me, Amy Lee Mercree. You can find out more about the show on amyleemercree.com on the podcast page. Please stop by your favorite social platform and leave me a comment. I'd love to hear how you liked today's show and what topics you'd like me to cover in the future. Come find me on Instagram and Facebook at amyleemercree.com. If you would like to see what a medical intuitive session with me is all about, hop on over to the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com. Until next time, stay happily holistic.